So WandaVision is out now on Disney Plus. It is the first MCU universe show that's been on Disney Plus. We've had a lot of people asking us to do reactions to it, hear what our thoughts are on it. So that's what we're going to talk about in this episode of Legends of Podcasting. Now, joining me in the Wave Rider, we have the full crew this time. So going around the room, who's here?
Stuart,
Ross,
and Rob.
And I'm Liam. All right, guys, let's jump into it. All right, so we've got five episodes of the show have come up, have been released so far. And I know we've got mixed opinions on, you know, those episodes so far. So I'm going to take kind of like a what I expect here to be a bit of a positive sandwich here. And we're going to start off with Stuart. Okay, so let's start off with you. And let's hear what your thoughts were on the first five episodes. Don't go too deep into it. Just initial reactions, and we're going to discuss it more in a moment.
I've surprisingly enjoyed it. I have to say, I was a bit dubious when we saw the trailers. I was like, what the hell is this going to be about? But say the first three episodes were quite a sort of slapstick comedy, you know, old Bewitched and stuff, which I used to watch anyway. So sort of, I thought it was quite clever how they did that and how they actually filmed it. And obviously it flipped on to episode 4 and 5, and it's just like the outside and what's actually happening. And so much stuff has happened. It just got me really excited for the rest of the season now.
Okay. So. What about you, Ross? What did you think of it? First five so far?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. It's a bit of a slow burner at the start, but it was still like quite nostalgic watching sort of the old shows and stuff. But then like, I feel like the peak of the interest is now what's happening outside and you see inside. I think that's great.
What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I have to say I'm kind of agreeing with the guys. The first two episodes were the black and white ones, really slow with only a little bit in it to tease you. And then when it starts to go outside, it starts to really pick up a bit. But I'm also kind of think that was a good method as well, because they kind of exhausted what they can do within the show without revealing the big outside plot. So I like the structure. I like how they structured it, but I wasn't with it until about episode 3, if that makes sense.
So, okay. So for me, I didn't like the way they structured it.
There's always one.
So this was one show that when they announced it, I'm just not interested. It didn't pique my interest, but watched it all the same. And, you know, the first few episodes where it's just like an old sitcom, for me, I'm like, if I wanted to watch an old sitcom, I'd watch an old sitcom. And these episodes, they were just the superheroes put in that sitcom world. And it was stayed pretty close to it being a sitcom, and it wasn't, you only got these little bits of something a little bit different in there. And for me, those first episodes, you know, I watched it because I felt like I needed to watch it, but it took me a while to get into this show. So, well, we'll go into this more in a moment. So let's go, we'll bring the conversation around now. So the first episodes, what did you guys like? You jump in whenever. What did you guys like specifically about those first, let's say the first two, the black and white episodes? You know, Stuart and Ross, you in particular said you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think it was episode 2. It's the bit where, is it episode 2? It might have even been 3. But it's the bit where the woman who's like head of the committee that's sorting out the magic show and everything. And she walks into the room and says, oh, do these earrings make me look fat? And then, like, Wanda's having the contractions and the light goes out and the plugs is like, oh, thank God. I mean, I laughed so much at that bit. It was so funny. That was probably the best moment over those old black and white scenes, but I love that.
I mean, I've really enjoyed Paul Bentley just doing, like, a comedic role.
He's got such a great range as an actor.
Yeah.
Him being, like, drunk because that chewing gum went into
chewing gum was in his system. That was great.
Doing the magic show. He actually, like, every time he bowed, he went, he's like, you don't have to say it aloud. He's like, yeah. And I'd love to, I hope they do sort of behind the scenes documentary on how they filmed it all. Cause I think
as much as I wasn't a bigger fan of the earlier episodes, I love the attention to detail and how they've made it look and feel like a 50s and 60s sitcom. It looks and feels like like I Dream of Jeannie. Yeah. No, Bewitched, the second episode, like, when they got the
I Dream of Jeannie, and there was there was a few, and like there was also, I mean, I noticed a few things while going through the episodes. I was like, oh, that Easter egg. I then went on YouTube and found some videos, and there was something like 65 Easter eggs in the first two episodes that I totally missed. I was like, god damn, they like proper hid all this stuff in the show. So it's been quite interesting.
Yeah, they definitely did do their research in the development of these shows. And the ones where it was set on the sitcoms, they were really well done. I totally agree on that. I feel like I didn't need a whole episode based in the 50s and then a whole episode in the 60s, a whole episode in the 70s. For me, I feel like it could have been shorter. I feel like less is more. Mm. And that's my opinion. I mean, those were... I feel like ultimately when all the episodes are out and we've got the overall story arc, we're going to end up feeling like, well, the story didn't really begin until the end of episode 3 or beginning of episode 4 is where we're going to feel like, oh, well, that's where the story actually began. And these ones before, you know,
it was to keep
not
you guessing,
so much.
Right?
I mean,
yeah, it was more to keep you guessing, like all the little bits, like the helicopter that was color, the whole, like when the beekeeper came out, was just like, no, and just rewound. It's like, wait, what the hell?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't really get it until the end of episode 1 when you had the stinger where someone was watching the show on TV and with the sword logo, and you were like, "Oh, okay, what the hell's that about?" You know.
Yeah, exactly. It was very much like they were trying to keep you guessing whether they were stuck in this world or it was Wanda controlling it or what.
I honestly thought when I was watching it that she was like in a coma or something.
Yeah.
In a sword or shield lab, and everybody going into it was trying to. Like all the people in this village or whatever were like agents going in trying to talk to her, but her control, her power was too much that they couldn't then, you know, be talk to her. The reason why they were there,
especially in episode
just instantly blended in
two, I think, when they introduce, I forget the actress's name that plays Monica Rambeau, and she just appears in the committee to, and she doesn't really know why she's there and has no, she's a bit strange. So I thought, you, Ross, I thought that's where they were going with that. And then they've changed it up a bit.
Especially when she had the sword necklace on as well.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. What the hell's going on here? And,
I also have loved the adverts they put in.
Yeah,
like,
that's great.
I mean, the Lagos one was genius.
Yeah. Oh, that's so harsh. It's like when you make a
mess, you didn't mean to make.
But that makes, those adverts make a lot of sense in context with the 5 episodes we've seen now, because we know that, spoiler alert, Wanda's the one in control of this. So this is all her.
Or is she? And we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
So I think when I think about it, I think that ultimately what it is that I didn't like about the earlier episodes, the first 2-3 episodes, is that no one in the episode, for everyone in the shows, it's normal for them that they're in the show. Mm. You know, you get these little bits of these little weird bits in there, but otherwise, other than that, for everyone, this is all normal. They're normally in the show. I feel like it'd be beneficial if we'd had at least one character that is aware from the beginning, like, why am I trapped in a TV show? Mm. Which, in a way, I feel like if we'd started with, was it episode 4, which is the first one where we're out of it. If we'd started with Rambo going into the town in New Jersey, which I think it's funny that it's New Jersey. But, as soon as I saw that, when it was like New Jersey, I'm like, oh, awesome. Am I going to recognize anything? Nope.
Have you heard of Westview, Liam?
No.
They were under her spell as well.
You're not supposed to, yeah.
I looked it up like right afterwards. I'm like, where is it? And it's like, it's all on the whole, everything's the studio lots, the Warner Brothers studio lot and Universal studio lots out in California.
Yeah.
Which is why nothing's recognizable. But, but yeah, I feel like if it started off the show with Rambo going into the show and then you were in it and then you kind of were following Rambo more predominantly, I feel like that would be, for me, I feel like that would have worked a bit better, you know, because then you'd know that there's something really up with this world. You don't know what's up with it. But I don't think
that would work, because I feel like we're going to be following Wanda going through this stage of like the first few episodes she's got a hold on it. You know, she knows what she wants. And then she's slowly going to realize that what she's doing is wrong. and it's going to start breaking down, and everybody around her is going to tell her. And then I don't know how it's going to end, but I feel like the way that they did it works better for me.
Yeah, it's because it's when you think about it, because I was saying to you guys before we started this, it's taken me this long to realize that WandaVision refers to the broadcast of WandaVision rather than just their two names stuck together. Yeah. So it's like clearly this.
Well,
is,
it's a mixture of both, isn't it? Yeah, it's really well done.
So this is all about her grieving with the loss of the 5 years that she's been gone during Thanos' snap and finding out that Vision's not come back and is still dead and grieving with it in a really bad way. You see that bit when.
I mean, the way you see her go in and get Vision's body, man.
Yes.
I was like, whoa.
Body's been taken apart as well.
Yeah.
Apparently, that was a deleted scene, I think, from Endgame.
Yeah. Oh, really?
You know, as well, helping claim the body. Yeah, which this brings to an interesting point. So, and we'll discuss the end of episode 5 in a moment. We'll get there. But
the elephant in the room.
Inside of Westview, you know, inside of the town, Wanda is creating things. We know that she is changing the DNA of things. She is creating things. So this brings a question of, has she actually revived Vision? Has she created a new Vision? If she has, would he exist outside of Westview, or can he only exist inside? Because we know as well from Rambo's clothing got to leave Westview and stay as that clothing. Does that continue to life? If it continues to life, what's the deal with the children? Has she actually made real children here? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I don't think she's made a Vision, just because I feel like the Vision was mainly powered from the Mind Stone.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's quite, I don't think she's as powerful as that to recreate it, but maybe she can do it without it. But my initial thought is it isn't. Because you see that little clip where he walks into the room and you can see like his mind is the things out of color, and I feel like that's what's floating around, like walking around, but she's, you know, she's painted a picture over the top to make it look nice. That's my initial thought.
I kind of thought that as well, but then on the flip side, in like the last episode, he's very much going against what she wants. So if she's controlling him like a puppet, then how could he do that?
Didn't he say that he can't remember anything prior to waking up?
So I
wonder how much of you know, when Shuri was trying to take the Mind Stone out in Endgame, if how much of his personality is the Mind Stone and how much is him, and how much of him is still in there, if that makes any sense, and that's a part of him that's still there as a core personality, whereas the memories were in the Mind Stone maybe, and he lost those when he died.
We're thinking then that Vision's kind of a puppet. She's moving him around like a puppet inside of this world. But he doesn't have the stone, so he's going to then die when this is all done.
I don't want it to be the case, but I kind of think that's the way they're going to have to go. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. But the way he sort of can do stuff that she would want him to find out makes me think that he must have either it's like her subconscious going through Visions trying to tell her it's wrong.
She knows that it's wrong, so she's kind of portraying that, like splitting her mind
through Vision, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
because I mean that whole last episode where he like touched the guy's head and he came out of the trance and he's like,
oh yeah,
where's my phone, where's my mum, she's sitting there talking to my sister, how long, and she's like, she's in my head. I was like, holy shit. I mean, it's great acting the way he just went back into the I was like fuck, like every single person she's actually controlling.
Was that scene in the third episode when the guy cutting the hedge? He's just like, hey, buddy, you're going a little over there.
And
he just keeps going through the wall. He's like, yeah,
I
know. It just keeps going because he's obviously fighting against something. Yeah. It's so strange. Yeah.
So we know that Wanda isn't the only one doing things here, because we know that there are things that are being done by someone else. She's not completely the one behind it, right? At the very least, we know that from at the very end of the last episode, when the doorbell rings, we will get to that in a moment. We're not talking about that yet. But when the doorbell rings, she makes a point that that's not her. She didn't do that.
And she made a point
Go on, Stuart.
She made a point as well, just before that, talking to Vision. She goes, I don't know how this started. It just happened. Yeah. So it's not like she's gone into going, oh, I'm going to make this world. I'm going to make this. I'm going to do this. It's like, it just happened.
And she became more aware of it as time went on, that she had more control over things.
Exactly. But then you've got the, just to so inject, who do you you've think? Got the bit where she, in episode four, I think, when they try to kill her with the drone, and she comes out of the vision with the drone and has a go at the police before going back in again. So she knows what's going on, or is that not her? You know, is that the other question?
I think that's her, and she knows what's going on, but I don't think she started it. I think she...
No, I think she's stuck in it, but she likes being stuck in it. So she's accepted it.
Because didn't she say, what do you want? I've got what I want. Don't come back in, or something to that effect.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I totally think the only person that keeps coming up in the show is Agnes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can see on the comments, people are commenting it could be...
Agatha Harkness.
Which is a massive character. But it's just something... Until the last episode where she went to Wanda, was like, oh, should we do that again? And like retake it like she was an actor.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, she was sort of very much very sneaky and very like always there when someone was going about something.
She always knew.
She'd come in and like make a joke.
She
about
needed,
it
didn't she? And come in with the stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like she's. I don't know whether she's definitely a massive part. She like started it and she's just sitting there. And I mean, I'm kind of thinking there's got to be something to do. Otherwise, why have the kids? There's got to be something to do with like. Her and whoever she's working with wants the kids. Mm. In fact, she keeps talking about her husband that you never see. I don't know if that's meant to be.
Yeah.
Again, I can see in the comments people have mentioned like Mephisto and stuff. Maybe it's like, yeah, I mean, they want the kids because maybe they have, I don't know, Wanda's powers and they want to use them. I don't know. Loads of cool stuff that it could be. But it's definitely something up that we're going to find out very soon, I think.
Yeah. So let's get to then the elephant of the room, which is... We saw at the end of the last episode that Quicksilver appeared at the doorbell, but not the lame rubbish Quicksilver
that we've seen
in the MCU, but the actual cool Quicksilver from the X-Men franchise. So, what does that mean ultimately on this? Because we know that that is the character or the actor at the very least, but he looks kind of consistent in appearance to how he appeared in the X-Men franchise. So does this mean that she has picked him out of an alternate reality, the X-Men universe, and brought him in here, in which case we're acknowledging the multiverse here, which is what the upcoming Spider-Man Crisis and Ultimate Spider-Verse
and the new Doctor Strange as well.
Yeah. Oh, the Doctor Strange. Yeah, you're right,
Strange.
Ross.
Yeah. So
I kind of think this story is going to finish in that movie. I don't reckon
it's going to finish in Doctor Strange or Spider-Man.
Doctor Strange. I know Wanda's in that movie. I don't think she's going to be a good guy by the end of the show.
Well, there was a comment I read somewhere online that says that maybe the only way that they can resolve Wanda's powers going out of control with this, where she's clearly created this bubble, she's really, really powerful, but doesn't know what she's doing, will be for Doctor Strange to arrive and go, your powers are actually magic, and here's how you do it, you know, and then that leads into the movie.
I feel there's something along that. But yeah, there's two things about it. I'm good, happy and sad at the same time about that Quicksilver thing, because one, I'm really happy because obviously it opens the possibility up that the X-Men are coming into the MCU, which we always knew was going to happen, which is awesome. The sad thing is, even though I love McAvoy and everyone from that universe, I want fresh characters. I don't want them coming back in, because you're not going to bring Hugh Jackman back into the MCU. I want a new Wolverine. I want like a new Professor X. I want a new set of X-Men.
Well, we know from
those movies didn't go that well for a lot of people. I mean, I enjoy all of them, but a lot of people don't like him. So why would you bring those characters in to the MCU?
Well, we know from from Mandalorian that stunt casting of the highest order is Disney's day. So it may just be what Disney does best, where they've thrown this actor in to get everyone going, oh Jesus Christ, what's going on here? And then and then they'll because my theory, I was talking to Stu about this the other day, Stu, when this ends, it might be a rewrite of reality, House of M style, whereby the mutants are now suddenly in the MCU.
Which will be cool. I mean, it's a good way to get the X-Men and Fantastic Four and everyone else into this universe, but it needs to be new characters. I think it needs to be new actors and new rather than repeat.
I think it would be great to have, like, to be done with that series of X-Men movies, which I like that series, X-Men movies. They were great. But I think this is a great opportunity to start fresh with X-Men and do it right from the beginning, with Cyclops being the leader of the X-Men from the beginning.
Badass. As well.
don't do a Dark Phoenix trilogy and mess it up. So,
yeah. Yeah, like
don't always end the third movie on fucking Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. Save Dark Phoenix for like, you know, the 10th film.
Yeah,
you know? Don't ping your big guns out too early.
I feel like it's a great opportunity to do something to do X-Men right within this. Not to say it was wrong with the other one, but they, you know.
Well, I'm going to wind the lot up now. I'm going to wind at least two or three people up there by saying that, yeah, that's what the MCU did with Spider-Man. Got it right third time. Okay, fine.
Get it more right with the fourth version of Spider-Man. We're slowly getting closer to comic book.
Did anybody else think, you know, when she opened the door at the end and you just saw the white hair from the back, that it was Magneto?
I did for a split second. Oh.
I was like, wait. So, because like she kept saying, like, doesn't know who family is, and they were talking about her parents in Sokovia, and I was like, because when she looked up, I thought it was like a taller person, and I was like, oh my god, it's Eric! Oh my god, I freaked out for about 10 seconds.
the fact they panned away, I was like, wait, no, you got to show us who it is, right?
They're gonna finish the show. That's what I said. I didn't think they were going to show the face. I thought they were going to end it with the back of the head. So I was like, oh my god, it's Magneto! And then we didn't know who was cast as it. I did freak out. I also really liked when they showed the picture of like the area of the town that's been cornered off, and it was shaped like a hexagon.
Yes.
I was like, oh yes, it's the hex. And when they actually called it the hex,
yeah.
I was so happy, man.
I love the way Jimmy Woo was writing on the whiteboard all the questions that I had in the first three episodes. He was like, why is this?
He started talking about, oh my God, she's never shown this type of power before. I'm like, yes, show her power, man, because she's been so nerfed in the MCU.
They said that, oh, she could have taken out Thanos single-handedly. And then they said, Captain Marvel could have done that. And they just put Captain Marvel aside for a minute.
Yeah.
Monica Rambeau was like Captain Marvel, even though it was
kid.
I was like, but then I mean, like my daughter Lois is a massive fan of Scarlet Witch, and she always constantly have conversations about who'd win a fight of Scarlet Witch and Burn. I'm always like, Scarlet Witch, like, unless it's Batman, Scarlet Witch would win. Like, there's no two ways about it. She is that powerful that they never really show in the movies. So
no, I like the way they refer to it as a hex as well, with the shape leading into the hex bolt thing. That was quite a cool way of doing that.
And I like the Kat Dennings in it.
Let's give a big hand to Jimmy Woo for finally mastering the card trick.
The way they introduced him with the card trick, I thought that was genius. I really want him to have his own sideshow, whether it's him and Darcy or him and Monica, just them two doing like
you say. It's great that they can get these sort of side characters back from other films and bring them into this in a meaningful way. I like that. So
it really does tie the whole universes together, doesn't it?
So guys, before we wrap it up, we're going to cut over to the questions and comments that we're getting in our live chat. So thanks everyone that joined for the live chat. I see we've got Lord of Shadows in here, Callum Armour, Joel Ibanez. Let's look through the comments we've got here. So we're getting, what do we say here? It's Callum Armour. Made the point of saying the first three episodes could have been edited down to a 1 hour episode easy. I'd say you could cut it down even more aggressively than that. I'd say you could have easily you could have probably combined those first three episodes into one. You could have got that right down to 30 minutes and it could have worked really nicely. Callum Allen makes a point as well of saying, I agree. I felt like it took four episodes to get to where the trailer already got us.
Still waiting for those shots of her and Vision in their actual comic book accurate costumes. Really stupid.
Yeah, I've been thinking that same thing. I'm like, when are we gonna see that?
If we follow the way the series has been going, the next episode should be an 80s themed sitcom, which I think that was kind of what the camera angle from that shot looked like. So
yeah, 90s.
So then we've got to talk about who the big bad is. Joel Ibanez.
I want to come back to the big bad. What happens if it is Angus's?
What Joel thinks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say that it's not technically her husband, but it's the person that she's referring to her husband. She's got Wanda in this, whatever you want to call it, the hex. She's put her in that to kind of train her or get her mindset right, to help her then defeat her husband that she keeps going on about. And they're going to work together.
Interesting.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I say it'd be interesting because I mean, people like Mephisto, and they got Nightmare, and another comment there as well. Is like they're big characters that you'd have to do a bit of backstory to explain to people because not a lot of people would know who they are. So,
What if the big bad here is actually Wanda? Is the actual big bad, and this story arc is her becoming a villain.
Again,
this is her hero's journey or villain's journey.
Full circle.
End up being,
I don't know. I get the feeling that this is more her processing her grief because, but bear in mind, when she was snapped out of existence by Thanos, and this takes place how many days, weeks after the end of Endgame?
About three weeks.
So she's come back from, and that's something I meant to say as well. I like the way they're dealing more with the effects of people coming back from Thanos' snap.
When they showed the hospital scene where everyone was coming back. Good. That was great.
That's so, like, that's so, we talked about this online, but I talked to a few people about it. It's so fucked up how you think about they literally appear where they, like, so if you were
exactly where they were,
if you're an aeroplane, and then you say, there's no aeroplane anymore, you just fall to your death. That's pretty fucked up.
But no, I was just gonna say that, it's her coming back from 5 years and finding out that Vision's still dead, that Black Widow's
dead.
Black Widow's dead because she was friends with her, kind of, and that, she's just not really processing her grief particularly well.
I think Angus has put her in this situation to try and help her. It's a way for her to cope with it. That's my initial thinking about it.
Grief's clearly got to be a big part in this.
Massively.
Let's not forget that iconic line from Endgame. It's like, who are you? You took everything from me. I don't even know who you are. You will.
You will. Yeah, definitely.
While she's pissed
as
hell.
I love that bit. Literally rips his armor off. He's like, yeah, you're dead. You're 100% going to die. I like the fact that someone mentioned it could be Doctor Doom. I cannot wait for the MCU.
Doctor Doom is the best Marvel villain, hands down. I don't care what everybody says. I love that.
Yeah, it would be great if they could finally do him right.
Yeah.
You know, like, we've had two chances at it so far, and he didn't do it right either time. Like,
the last time was horrible. Fantastic Four. I mean, someone pointed out when I was watching some reaction to the episode, you know, when they first walk through S.W.O.R.D., there's a sort of ship in like a big warehouse. They were talking about something, and like someone was like, "Oh, could that be the Fantastic Four ship?" I was like, "Ooh!" Then Monica mentions she's going to get some aerospace engineer to come and help her.
They did mention that S.W.O.R.D. has been around for a while.
Yeah, imagine if that was Reed Richards. Oh my god!
I'd be like, fuck, they did.
They did mention that S.W.O.R.D. has been around for a while. It's been doing man missions since before the snap. So presumably, if the Fantastic Four came back from the snap in the blip in the middle of a cosmic radiation storm, there's your Fantastic Four.
Now, see, Joel Ibanez has just made the comment of saying that he's here is how I see it for a 9-episode season. Episodes 1 through 3 is first act, episodes 4 through 6, second act, and episodes 7 through 9, third act / conclusion. With that, I mean, I can see your point because the first 3 episodes were just a whole load of setup. Traditionally, on a TV series, episode 1 functions as the act 1. And then you've got everything after that, the act 2, which is the bulk of it up until we get to like the end, a few episodes become act 3. And I think that, you know, that's typically in order to, you limit that first act down to 1 episode to get everyone interested and get them on board. I really do feel like if those first 3 episodes were just squished down to 1, it would function so much better as an exciting launch pad for the show.
I know we're running a bit short on time, but I just wanted to check that someone's asked about whether we're going to react to the rest of the show. I think we'll probably do another sort of live stream at the end of the show, but I know the next shows we're going to be reacting to, people tell me if I'm wrong, it's the Superman and Lois Lane show. The Flash is coming back very soon, and then also the Falcon and Winter Soldier show. We'll be reacting to that as well. So we have those 3 shows coming up very soon.
Depending on if we can get this new setup we're using to broadcast this live and record while we're during lockdown, we might be able to do the finale of WandaVision, but we'll have to see if we've got the time for that.
Definitely, that'd be cool.
We'll see. All right. Well, posted. That's it for this episode of Legends of Podcasting. Don't forget to click that subscribe button. If you're watching this on the YouTube channel, click that subscribe button. You'll get notified whenever we have other live streams coming up and when we have other videos posted. And if you're listening to this on the podcast version, which is available on all good podcast platforms. Be sure to click that subscribe button. You get notified whenever we have new episodes out. So that's all from me.
It's all from me as well.
Oh, Ross.
Ross, he's out of practice. He's come back from the blip. He's just come back from the blip. He's like, what's going on?
It's been 5 years, man.